I don't know if some of you feel like you wish you were sitting up there with the kids when I do a story, but I brought one for you this time. I look hard for these flat little books that are easy to stick in a folder and bring along, and usually I look for something that can be done reading in about 3 to 5 minutes. But this time I found Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes. And I wanted to read to you Roald Dahl's version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. If you know Roald Dahl, well, you may be prepared, but I'm not so sure. This famous wicked little tale should never have been put on sale. It's a mystery to me why loving parents cannot see that this is actually a book about a brazen little crook. Had I the chance, I wouldn't fail to clap young Goldilocks in jail. Just imagine how you'd feel if you'd cooked a lovely meal, delicious porridge, steaming hot fresh coffee in the coffee pot, maybe toast and marmalade, the table beautifully laid, one place for you and one for Dad, another for your little lad. Then Dad cries, "Golly, gosh, gee whiz, oh cripes, how hot this porridge is." Can you show the picture? There you go. It's kind of hard to see. There's Dad. Another sandpaper tongue. "Let's take a walk along the street until it's cool enough to eat." He adds, "An early morning stroll is good for people on the whole. It makes your appetite improve. It also helps your bowels to move." No proper wife would dare to question such a sensible suggestion, above all not at breakfast time when men are seldom at their prime. No sooner are you down the road when Goldilocks, that little toad, that nosy, thieving little louse, comes sneaking in your empty house. Doesn't look as cute as in the other version, does she? She looks around. She quickly notes 3 bowls brimful of porridge oats, and while standing on her feet, she grabs a spoon and starts to eat. I say again, how would you feel if you had made this lovely meal and some delinquent little tot broke in and gobbled up the lot? But wait, that's not the worst of it. Now comes the most distressing bit. You are, of course, a house-proud wife, and all your happy married life you have collected lovely things like gilded cherubs wearing wings and furniture by Chippendale bought at some famous auction sale. But your most special valued treasure, the piece that gives you endless pleasure, is one small children's dining chair, Elizabethan, very rare. It is, in fact, your joy and pride passed down to you on Grandma's side, but Goldilocks, like many freaks, does not appreciate antiques. She doesn't care. She doesn't mind. And now she plops her fat behind upon this dainty, precious chair, and crunch, it busts beyond repair. A nice girl would at once exclaim, "Oh dear, oh heavens, what a shame." Not Goldie. She begins to swear. She bellows, "What a lousy chair!" And uses one disgusting word that luckily you've never heard. I dare not write it, even hint it. Nobody would ever even print it. You'd think by now this little skunk would have the sense to do a bunk, but no, I very much regret, she hasn't nearly finished yet. Deciding she would like a rest, she says, "Let's see which bed is best." Upstairs she goes and tries all 3. Here comes the next catastrophe. Most educated people choose to rid themselves of socks and shoes before they clamber into bed. But Goldie doesn't give a shred. Her filthy shoes were thick with grime and mud and mush and slush and slime. Worse still, upon the heel of one was something that a dog had done. I say once more, what would you think if all this horrid dirt and stink was smeared upon your eiderdown by this revolting little clown? The famous story has no clues to show the girl removed her shoes. Oh, what a tale of crime on crime. Let's check it for a second time. Crime 1, the prosecution's case. She breaks and enters someone's place. Crime 2, the prosecutor notes. She steals a bowl of porridge oats. Crime 3, she breaks a precious chair belonging to a baby bear. crime, for she smears each topless sheet with filthy messes from her feet. A judge would say without a blink, 10 years hard labor in the clink. But in the book, as you will see, the little beast gets off scot-free. While tiny children near and far shout, goody good, hooray, hurrah, poor darling Goldilocks, they say, thank goodness that she got away. Myself, I think I'd rather send young Goldie to a sticky end. Oh, Daddy, cried Baby Bear, my porridge gone. It isn't fair.
Then go upstairs, the big bear said. Your porridge is upon the bed. But as it's inside Mademoiselle, you'll have to eat her up as well.
And now let's sing hymn number 203. For all the bears and children in our world, all creatures of the earth and sky. Thank you. Whoever set this to music for the Unitarian Universalists thought they would cover all of the theological bases in one song. Well, this famous little wicked tale should never have been put on sale. It's a mystery to me why loving parents cannot see that this is actually a book about a brazen little crook. Roald Dahl's version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears is loads of fun in the way it points out the obvious problems with the story as it's usually told. But the story that most of us know is not the original, nor is Goldilocks a folktale of ancient origin like those of Hansel and Gretel or Billy Goat's Gruff. Robert Southey first published it in 1834 during the long period in which he was the poet laureate of Great Britain. Southey never thought that he was writing the story of a nice little girl at all. The three original bears were not a nuclear family of Papa, Mama, and Baby Bear. They were three bachelors who shared a small house like British gentlemen often did. One was large, one middle-sized, and one was very small, though we're not told if he was any younger than the others. You could have described my college roommates in much the same terms when we shared our apartment, only it was Juan was the youngest, I was in the middle, and then Zia was already a graduate student, was about here. The sole female character in the story is not a little girl named Goldilocks, though she also enters the story when the bears have gone out while their porridge cools on the table. Here's how Southey introduces her. And while they were walking, a little old woman came to the house. She could not have been a good, honest old woman, for first she looked in the window. Then she peeped in the keyhole, no respect for privacy. And seeing nobody in the house, she lifted the latch. The door was not fastened because the bears were good bears who did no one any harm and never suspected that anyone would harm them. So the little old woman opened the door and went in. Well pleased she was when she saw the porridge on the table. And this is an illustration from the original on the cover of your order of service. You probably thought that was the Wicked Witch from Hansel and Gretel, carried over from one of our earlier services, huh? Now that's the original Goldilocks. If she'd been a good little old woman, she would have waited till the bears came home. And then perhaps they would have asked her for breakfast, because they were good bears, a little rough or so, as the manner of bears is, but for all that, very good-natured and hospitable. But she was an impudent, bad old woman and set about helping herself. So much about for making our own judgments. Southey takes care of that for us. No excuses for this silver-haired old woman like there might have been for little Goldilocks. She should know better than to enter where she's not been invited, and she probably does. But something keeps drawing her in further. So first she tasted the porridge of the great huge bear, and that was too hot for her, and she said a bad word about that. And then she tasted the porridge of the middle bear, and that was too cold for her, and she said a bad word about that too. And then she went to the porridge of the little small wee bear, tasted that, and that was neither too hot nor cold, but just right. And she liked it so well that she ate it all up. But the naughty old woman said a bad word about the little porridge pot because it did not hold enough for her. Where the children's Goldilocks is sorry that there's not more, this nameless old woman curses the pot for limiting her pleasure. She now moves through the house, repeating this pattern with the chairs and the bed. One chair is too hard, one's too soft. The last seems perfect at first, but when it breaks, she curses it too. The big bear's bed is too high at the head. The middle bear is too high at the foot. The small bed is nice and level, so there she falls asleep until the bears get home, when she wakes to find them standing beside her. Now, the window was open because the bears, like good tidy bears that they were, always opened their bedchamber window when they got up in the morning. Of course, Robert Southey knew what was probably under the bed back in 1834. Okay, the bears, three bears and three chamber pots? Wow. Okay, out the little old woman jumped, and whether she broke her neck in the fall or ran into the wood and was lost there or found her way out of the wood and was taken up by the constable and sent to the house of correction for a vagrant as she was, I cannot tell. But the three bears never saw anything more of her. So funny though Roald Dahl's parody of the children's version may be, the original story is very clear in its judgment that we should not break and enter other people's houses or enter them and break things in our search for what's just right. Nor should we be ungrateful for the little bits of it that we do find. The trick may be to look for it in just the right places. And where might those be found? Where are those just right places? Well, last winter, I went to visit Duane and Sharon Folletti. And I didn't realize until we'd been talking for a while that this was Duane's very first full day at home after weeks spent in the hospital and rehab after surgery. It made me feel honored to be welcome to visit at such a time. I tried not to stay too long, but have you ever spoken with the Folettis? They're great conversationalists. So one subject of conversation kept leading to another and another, and then Duane asked Sharon to find that morning's edition of the Tri-City Herald. There was an article that he wanted me to see. Sharon cut it out, and Duane said, "Maybe you could do a sermon on this sometimes." It's a little bit like Papa Bear. The headline reads, "Tri-Cities Tops List of Most Secure Areas." And the article goes on to describe how, according to the Farmers Insurance Group, and they should know, this area is the most secure mid-sized city in the U.S. in terms of, quote, crime statistics, extreme weather, risk of natural disasters, housing depreciation, foreclosures, air quality, environmental hazards, terrorist threats, life expectancy, and job loss numbers. You may now pat yourself on the back. And pat your neighbors too, if they give you permission. Don't be like Goldilocks or Silverlocks and intrude on anybody's space without their permission. But this is not the first time. This is the second time since 2005 that the Tri-Cities have been number one, and the sixth time that it's made the top 20. So if almost anyone, old or young, should happen to be wandering through the woods or the sagebrush and find their way to your comfortable mid-size home, chances are very good that they would find it to be just right. How does it feel to you to be able to say such a thing about the place where you live? I've got to tell you, my town, Salem, is not even on the list, let alone sitting at the top. Of course, this doesn't mean that no one here is experiencing any problems. The three bears no doubt had their problems before their shared home was invaded, as do each of the three cities that share this beautiful stretch of the Columbia River. There's poverty in all of them, especially this one where we keep house together. New environmental hazards and terrorist threats could easily emerge around the Hanford site. We've seen our own members lose their jobs over the years, and some have had to leave the area to find another. But still, just imagine what it would be like if everyone in the world could have the security that you have here. Or to bring the question even closer, imagine that everyone had just as much as you. I know that there are some things for all of us here that feel too hard these days, or too soft in this infirm economy, too hot or too cold in terms of our relationships. I hope you feel safe to share such things with the people here, including me, sometimes. But for now, I'd like to ask, what have you found that's just right for you, right now, right here, in these three river cities? Would you be willing to share it with us today? What needs no improvement, no adjustments up or down, firmer or softer, warmer or cooler than it is right here and right now? This is a Thanksgiving sermon, so this is the traditional "what are you thankful for" portion of it. Beth?
I give thanks for all the good libraries. I'm going to be very specific. I worked for the Columbia Library System, and after Brian retired, he came and drove the bookmobile. Oh. And he got to all of Galtopia, to all the small towns. And we were so happy to see the education just all the way down to Patterson, just all over Bedford County. And I just love the region for that to be well educated.
Thank you. The libraries. I've been to the Kennewick one only, and I just kind of love the color, the sort of sage green interior. It's really lovely. Someone else? Yes?
I'm really thankful for how courteous people are here. I've never lived anywhere where you can be walking and stop on a street corner, and the traffic will stop to let you cross. It's really unusual.
Oh, wow. Did y'all hear that? The courtesy of the drivers. And the courtesy, especially toward pedestrians.
I really love the beauty of this place. It's sort of a beauty that you have to learn and appreciate if you've been to a place where there's many, many trees. But I love sort of the stark beauty where you can look for miles and you can see those ridge tops that are miles and miles away. I love the river. I walk along the river a lot with my little dog, and I have never once felt unsafe, whether it was daylight or, you know, dark. So I feel really safe here.
Did you hear okay?
No.
Okay, Sharon shared about the beauty of the place. Although there aren't very many trees, the way you can see forever, the sort of stark and bare beauty, and her sense of safety, walking even with a tiny dog, and I can vouch their dog would probably not scare very many people. Not too many. Amber.
Yeah. Well, I go on morning conference calls, and we have a pre-call between 6 and 6:30. And we do have the best weather in the country, day in, day out. And my buddy in Montana, who used to work at Columbia River, says, "You don't have any weather in Pasco."
Did y'all hear? You don't have any weather in Pasco. It's how many days of sun per year? Do you know what we get in Salem? Free. Yeah, Sandra.
Yeah, I just love the fact the sky is so big. You know, I've been able to see more astronomy. city lights to be able to see anything. So it's just cool to be able to say, okay, we can drive up two blocks to a parking lot in the middle of nowhere and see the stars. It's great.
Well, the big sky that's not interfered with by the streetlights. When we used to rent that house over in Richland and I would sleep there, I'd go for morning walks. I can remember a meteor that was so bright that I saw my shadow by it. Yeah. Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that some of my favorite places are the libraries. And, the Pasco, the Kenrick Library, the Richland Library, all three of them have their own kind of personality and, you know. And actually, all three cities have their own personality, too. You know. The other thing I really liked a lot was walking along the river. There's places you can go down to the river, for many miles along up here. You got the Columbia Park, and then Richland. You have almost the whole city of Richland is alongside a park there, too, you know. There's a little area there that isn't, but hopefully someday they'll get that converted too, so it'll be the whole length. But anyway, those are two of my favorites.
Okay, the openness and that incredible riverfront walking option.
Well, I am a foodie, and there are so many good things here, the sweet corn, the melons, the wine. and actually, food is more friendly priced than so many places in the Northwest.
So the quality of the food, the wine, the new wine country that we're in the middle of. Let me go to Pete and then Frank. Well, this is great.
Well, I just want to say that the recent elections may not have been just right, but many aspects of it were rightly just.
Oh, wow. Did you catch that? I want to try and say this correctly. The aspects of the recent election might not have been just right, but they were rightly just. Right? Maybe not everybody felt that. Maybe everyone wasn't pleased, but they were rightly just. I love that. Frank?
When I first moved here, even now, I talk about this area as going back 30 years in time. And I mean that in a good way, not a bad way. Things like the garbage gets picked up. Rarely are there potholes in the street. The schools really do work still and get a good education. You can buy actual real full produce at a farmer's market. If you're into riding bicycles as I am, there are 170 miles of bicycle routes in the area.
Wow.
If you're into hiking, you can walk along the river like we've talked about already here. You have all of that. And you do have a secure lifestyle where when you leave the house, you don't feel like you have to turn your ADT security system on every time you walk out the door. So when I say go back to 30 years of time, I mean that in a way that, in many respects, for many of us, harks back to what this country was like when we were young.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. Did you hear okay? Vicki.
I'm going to piggyback on Jean's. I was really thankful for this area that we have such broad agriculture, and not only do we have an abundance of food for ourselves in the New England market, and it is cheaper than many places, but we have a community that comes together, and we not only have just one food bank, but there are probably at least five food banks or so in the Tri-Cities that offer food for people that aren't able to actually afford to even those cheap, social skills, cheapness, not for others. So we have an abundance of that. And the community also pulls together for many other things, just like when pumpkins were stolen from elementary schools, farmers come in and bring pumpkins to replace them. So there's just many things that happen.
Mm-hmm. That are nice. Abundance of agricultural stuff and the abundance of ways of sharing it. Dwayne, we have to hear from Dwayne. He gave us this program.
I agree with everything said up to now, but we've got to mention Hurricane Sandy. We don't have Hurricane Sandy. Look at all the hazards of the rest of the world. We don't have a serious earthquake. The West Side is just an incipient way from a massive earthquake.
We don't have volcanoes.
The thing is, I've talked a lot. The climate has moderated here quite a bit. I mean, when I moved here, five lows down.
Thank you. Thank you. Alex?
I'd like to say that the size of the Tri-Cities seems perfect. We've got, you know, you can have the urban environment, but yet hop in your car 15 minutes later, you know, seeing the cows and the horses and whatnot, and you don't have the atrocious traffic like you have when you visit Seattle or Spokane, but yet you've got a lot of the same resources that those larger communities have.
Thank you. Yes, I don't know your name.
I guess one of my favorite things is that despite all the big box stores and places like Downtown LA, Downtown Shopping Center,
I couldn't quite hear you.
Local businesses.
Yeah. Right, and some attempt to make the streets crossable. I saw you have those bulges that make crossing the street a little easier in downtown Kennewick. Tana. You've got the Buddhist temple as your neighbors, too. Who would expect that out here? Yeah, me.
Well, this is not home for me, so this is all very good, though. But I will say the cultural events here, theater, music, it's really amazing and much appreciated. And also, thanks to that, I'm familiar with the medical care.
Thank you, medical care. And here's someone with roots standing on those roots in this area.
I'm thinking of three things. We have a really nice setup with a lot of farm workers and a lot of educated work. Good labor force, just right. And the next thing, it's always nice that lots of people don't have to be terribly rich to have a nice view of water, view of the river. And I think thirdly, out of 1,300 truck stops, our truck stop got rated 30th in the nation. That's a good truck stop.
There you go. Thank you. Bobby.
I would like to include the sky, the visual relief we have without all that clutter of trees and things in our area. Particularly the sky in spring is really exceptional. It is magnificent, the clouds and the colors and the things. And I would like to, and I'm grateful for the Columbia River and water and irrigation. There's nothing quite so lovely as the sound irrigation in the spring or in the summer, working well. The spring was working well. And that it affords a livable life here, which otherwise would be quite difficult.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Wow, people are so excited.
I'll pop back in. Yeah, two things. A couple of weeks ago, I noticed in the morning, 8 young girls, about 8 years old, all riding their bicycles together to school. And in this world today, where my son and daughter-in-law don't let my granddaughters go anywhere without them with them. In this town, you can still live like you did in your youth, where you can get on a bicycle and ride around as a kid and not be afraid that you're not coming back. Secondly, there are all those wonderful two-lane roads, blacktop roads up in the Horseshoe Hills, where one can take a sports car and exercise.
Various approaches to driving. Dan. Okay. I haven't seen those black tops. Okay, we could... Go on, Heidi, one more.
When I moved here in 99, I didn't know anybody. I just came because I had a job here. And I guess I'm most thankful for some of the people that I met when I first lived dinner party last night, and it's more like their family to me now, you know, just because I didn't have anyone here, and they've just really been there for all the changes we've gone through the last 10 years. So, really good friends.
Thank you. An opportunity to create an intended family. So, Andrew, maybe we can make one more. Let's go one more short one. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, when I come over from Salem and I find that it's gray and rainy here, I've often joked that it's a breach of contract and I demand satisfaction. I demand satisfaction for that, but the truth is that I've already found it. I enjoy this tough, friendly, resilient little church. It's been just right for me in so many ways. There are things that we could do better. But I'm confident, especially after this morning, I'm confident that we will. So, Duane, I don't know if this is what you imagined when you suggested that article on the Tri-Cities being number one in security, that might be a good sermon topic. Maybe if I'd come over on your second full day home after surgery, you'd have picked a different article. But you'd just gotten back from the hospital, from a place that I know can be too hot, too cold, too hard, or too soft all at the same time. And I'll bet that your home, not just your house, but your home, was feeling just right at the moment. It's such a simple thing. But mighty good news to share. Thank you for sharing it with me when I was your guest on such short notice, unexpectedly, and for inviting me to share it in this house this morning. And now Vicki has something to share with us, another annual tradition for Thanksgiving, about a very different kind of guest.